This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I can't believe Brunson is this good.
I don't think the Knicks can believe he's this good.
He's the ultimate leader. He not only brings the best out of himself, he brings the best out of the team.
Return pass Brunson, lines up a three, got it!
I can't believe he's this good. Because we keep saying, you need a star, you need a star, you need a star. I'm not saying he is the finishing piece for this to try to win a championship. Make no doubt about it, he is a star.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DNR 98.7 ESPN. So John Winthrop, I guess, got involved in the group chat. I would have no idea because I don't have my phone. Yep. So he said La La Land is it's a film and not a movie, right?
Yeah, he said to call La La Land a movie is disrespectful. It's a film.
It's a bad
That's how much
movie.
He appreciates
it's a,
it.
It's a bad film is what it is. Oh, was that a bad
Well,
one?
You guys can have that argument today.
When he strolls in here after 9 o'clock.
Well, because you know he's going to challenge you, because that's all this is. I mean, the last, RJ, how many months?
But why do you think that is? Why do you think that John, our boss, my beloved friend, is always looking to go after me?
I think there's blood in the water.
Why?
Because Alex is doing the same thing. I don't know.
So you think it's me? You think I'm having a moment of weakness?
I mean...
So I'm like Don Corleone, but I've turned my back.
I'm just connecting dots.
And I got you, who's my Fredo, who's bringing me to the fruit market.
No.
And I'm getting shot in the head.
How dare you?
What do you mean?
You're Fredo.
Well, you know what? If the shoe fits.
Stop it. This might be the nastiest thing
Fredo
you ever said to me.
Fredo was a great character.
Might be the nastiest thing you ever said to me.
You think John likes La La Land better than The Godfather?
No.
You don't know? I don't know.
He's a musical guy. How could you? Yeah, come on. Godfather's the greatest movie of all time.
So good.
Oh.
So good. The second one, equally good. Might be better than the first.
I got to tell you, I'm not even joking.
Avignore.
So why? Why you play that?
Did you watch what was it called? The Offer?
Oh, did I watch it?
No, but then did you go back and watch Godfather again after you watched The Offer?
I'm always seeing The Godfather whenever I see it on. Yeah.
I mean, what a whole different experience.
Wonderful. I'm going to make him an offer again with you.
Wonderful movie.
Loved it.
Wonderful movie. Wonderful show. The Offer. I actually had someone recently, I forget who it was, tell me they liked The Offer better than the movie.
Let's not get carried away.
I agree with
that. Yeah, let's, I mean, that's
But The Offer
silly.
Was really good.
Really, really good.
Elite. Did I turn you on to that? Was I the one who told you about The Offer?
Maybe. No, I don't think so.
No?
No.
It was so good.
It was great.
1-800-919.
You turned me on to the beef.
You know, it's not making fun
the
of
beef.
Me. By the way, beef, I don't think it's the beef.
Whatever it is.
Beef, whatever, the Emmys or whatever, cleaned up.
Steak Fritz.
Steak Fritz. So Don was out in
Where's
Tampa, right?
Yep.
And sat there at a restaurant and ordered the steak fritz.
The fritz.
I had the steak fritz.
Like
the fritz. Fritz. I don't know.
I love Michael's.
I love him.
I mean, the wait staff must be like, oh, okay. Listen, you got the completely, you know, disaster of a guy over there. He wants the fritz.
I had the steak fritz.
Fritz.
Fritz. Fritz. I don't know.
He's such a special gem.
He's a beauty. I love him.
He's such a special gem, isn't he? The steak fritz. It's amazing. Let's hear from, who do you want to hear from? I don't know,
you keep teasing sound.
I'm going to play right now.
Raymond's been here for 48 straight hours. You played none of his sound. None of it.
Raymond, I'm sorry. I'm going to get to the sound right now if you shut your mouth for a second. I got Tom Thibodeau. I got Jalen Brunson. I got Deuce McBride. And I got Woj. The injury.
Listen, career night for Deuce.
All right, you want to hear from Lil Deuce. What makes this team so connected? Here is Deuce McBride.
Honestly, it starts with the top. Coach Tibbs, he has great belief in all of his guys. He believes anybody in the room can step up and play well. So it starts with the top, just the belief with the coaching staff and then, you know, Jalen and everybody else being supportive.
I mean, you could feel they play as one. They really do. There's a complete...
They're all bought in.
Bought in
yep.
belief into the system, into what they're doing. I mean,
they all like each other.
Golden State needed that win last night. It's not like you went in there and went up against a team that didn't need it, that didn't have it. They needed it. And the Knicks just out everything them from the opening tip.
Yeah, right. I mean, the bench for Golden State was good. Starters, I think they had a combined 52 points last night, their starters.
That's not good.
No. And they're not good at home.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Here's Deuce again on how he prepared to take on Steph Curry.
A lot of film, understanding the routes he takes. Obviously, he doesn't stop moving. He's obviously the greatest shooter in history. So, you know, just trying to do my best and just continue to fight through screens, be physical, and do whatever I can to be disruptive.
How many minutes did he play last night?
47.
I mean, so he gave you 29 points. He, in essence, didn't come out of the game, and he chased around Steph Curry all night long. That's a big boy performance.
Earned
is what
his money
it is.
Last night, yeah. Made six threes. Career high points and threes made. It's a great night for him.
It was a great night for him. But that's the thing. If somebody's out, the next guy up steps up continuously. Happens game after game after game with
this
club.
Yeah, you're starting to see, I think the other big news too is you're just seeing Hartenstein coming back to what we saw before the whole Achilles
thing.
He's
a real, you don't watch him and, like, if you saw Hartenstein play a game, you'd say to yourself, he's pretty good. I think he's one of those guys, the more you watch him play, the more you realize how good of a player he is. He's pretty agile. He's quick inside. He has a decent offensive game. It's not great, but he can finish around the basket.
He had 8 points in the first quarter.
And he's a rebounding machine, and he's a real presence down low. Like, you take the ball to the basket against him, he's gonna stand up for that goal, for that defense.
Yeah, and he's also, he's a better offensive option than Mitch. And I like Mitch. I mean, the way Mitch was playing before he got hurt, I mean, that's as good a defense as you're going to see. But offensively, I think Hartenstein gives you a little bit more. But they just have a collection of guys that are willing to do all the little things pretty much all the time. Like, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Like, I think Josh Hart is the best example of that. Depending on the night, whatever you need. He played 48 last night, another triple-double. If it's rebounds, great defense. I mean, chips in with scoring. I mean, that's and all the guys like that. And most importantly, your best players like that, right? I mean, when Jalen Brunson sets the tone the way he does, and is just an extension of the head coach, that's
it's beautiful.
It's the perfect recipe.
Jose Queens. Good morning, Jose.
Hey, quick point about the Knicks. So, Tibbs gets criticized a lot for, like, overworking his players,
right,
and you know that. And when they go down, the criticism only doubles. But you know, Rick has mentioned, like, oh, what version of the player are you getting back? But I think the Knicks do a great job to rehab their players, because, like, when Brunson came back from his injury, his bounce back was automatic. When Anunoby came back, the difference was crazy. So when Randall or Mitch come back, I feel like this team can only go up from there.
Well, I think that, listen, Jalen wasn't out that long. When you have an upper body injury, you're still able to do stuff to keep your cardio up. Julius, same thing. So, I mean, that's easier. I don't know. It'd probably take Mitch a little bit longer because it's his lower half to get himself back
in
game shape.
Keep himself in shape.
Yeah.
But I mean, Anunoby, he came back. You felt good about it. And I remember watching.
It was the Portland game.
Yeah. Was that the game where he, like, stretched his arm and didn't feel right? And I remember watching and thinking to myself, that doesn't look great. So he's played, two games?
Yeah, you saw how he reacted the second he did it, though.
Right.
Goes in for the steal, hyperextends it. Probably scar tissue or whatever it was. And now probably,
MRI comes back clean.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure, dude, it's one of the hardest parts of coming back. First, it's trusting that you're not going to re-injure yourself. But you scare the crap out of yourself, because the last thing you want to do is have to rehab another injury. So you feel something tweak, or if it's, you know, scar tissue or whatever it ends up being. Like, even just getting, like, once, the biggest thing with that surgery, once you get it cleaned out, is getting your range of motion back. So now all of a sudden, like, he's finally okay, I can get it extended. Now I go past that.
And now I have real
pain.
And
it scares the crap out of me.
But I guess knowing that you're not, if the doctors are telling him this, and I imagine they are, if the MRI comes back clean, it's just pain management. It's just how much can you deal with, because you're not going to make it worse. That peace of mind, I would imagine, probably makes him feel a lot more comfortable.
It should, yeah. Well, that's why you do it, right? I mean, it's just to know that you didn't screw up the surgery, you're fine, it's just sore, and, you know, we'll rehab it, get it back, and then you go from there.
I cannot believe they won that game last night. Really?
I wouldn't say shocked.
I'm shocked.
I think the second you saw how hard they came out, though. I mean, they're up 18-4. It's like, okay.
I love it. I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you, I'm shocked. When I found out Anunoby was going to miss the game, I thought, all right, they're not going to win this game. And I wonder, and I guess I should get this out of my head, I wonder if they're going to mail it in. And the truth is, they never mail it in.
No.
It doesn't matter who they have. They never, ever mail it in. You want an update on OG?
I do.
Here's Woj, the update on OG Anunoby.
I'm told that OG Anunoby is going to be out more than just tonight, that right elbow has flared up again. They need it to calm down. How long he is out is unclear, but it's certainly a concern for this Knicks team. They do not know the status of Julius Randle moving forward, and right now they will miss OG Anunoby more than just this game against the Warriors.
All right, so we knew he came back to New York, and we knew he wasn't going to play against Denver as well. If it becomes more than that, I think you I mean, listen, it's so many different guys that you need to get back. Robinson, I think, is the least of the three. Randall, you need back, and OG, you need back. At least one of the OG and Randall has to come back.
Right. Well, I mean, listen, if you're going to go where you want to go, you need both.
Yes.
And you only got 14 games left here. Like, OG's going to be back. I mean, Randall's going to be back, too. It's just, I mean, it's how long, you know, how strong is the shoulder?
Yeah, how long are they going to be back for? Is it to come back and they get hurt again and then they miss time like OG is now?
Well, OG's going to have to battle through whatever is going on in his elbow. If the MRI came back clean,
it's going to be a thing. If he continues to play a couple games, miss a couple games, play a couple games, and you have Josh Hart playing 48 minutes and McBride playing 47 and Brunson coming back from what looked to be a season-ending injury, I'm telling you, and I'm not saying I will do this, but the Knicks fan base will become frustrated with him. I'm telling you.
I understand that, but if, I mean, every time he's on the floor, you win, I mean, what are you going to say? They're 15-2 with them on the
floor. Get on the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, figure out
some
a way
guys
to play.
In my experience, there are some guys, and now he has a history of missing time, right? Same thing in Toronto.
A big history, yes.
There are some guys that just don't feel comfortable playing at less than 100%. Or pretty damn close to 100%. Like, and there are some guys that are like, listen, my 75% is better than whatever the other option is.
Right.
And there's some guys that feel like I'm doing the team an injustice, or I'm doing myself an injustice if I'm not playing that close to 100%.
The thing is, he probably wasn't close to 100% against Portland, and he looked fine. Like him being out there
him being out there, but
he didn't look great, but like him being out there still makes you a better basketball team.
Right. And now, listen, get the peace of mind. Came back, MRI is clean. They get the swelling out of there, and he knows, like, this is it.
So he had the surgery. So what is this, just a time maintenance thing then?
Well, yeah. Like, sometimes it flares up. Like, you get a surgery, you come back from it, and then because you're not... I told you this, I think we were talking about it last week. Like, you can only push yourself so far in practice. Because subconsciously, you know what's practiced, and you're kind of still protecting yourself. And plus, the situations aren't nearly as frenetic in practice. It's more of a controlled situation. When you're going all out to try to win, or you're trying to, like, he reaches into the... He's not doing that in practice.
No.
He's not exposing that
right.
Under practice.
Right. He's keeping himself, you know, like, under wraps in practice.
Why risk trying to make this steal in practice? Like, in a game, it's like, no, my natural instincts take over. I'm going to go get that ball.
But if he does the move and the extension, whatever it is, and it hurts him, and he's like, oh, that you know there's no damage. You know there's nothing wrong with it. So you might just have to, especially the bigger the games get, and the later season you get, and into the postseason that you get, you might have to just fight through whatever's bothering
right.
you.
I mean, listen, NBA players aren't NHL players where you find out, like, you know, after...
Right. after his leg had multiple fractures.
Well, no, like, after the Stanley Cup, you find out that Matthew Tkachuk has a broken sternum.
It's amazing to me that a team season ends. It's like, oh, by the way, Ryan McDonough was playing with a fractured leg, and then this guy was playing with a broken jaw. And this, like, it's like when they come back from war.
It's amazing, man.
The NHL players after the postseason.
Like, guys can't tie their skates. Tkachuk couldn't put his jersey on.
Remember when McDonough didn't play in that Game 7 against Tampa, and then afterwards you find out, like, hey, he was dealing with a broken foot for the last few weeks.
Just jamming in the skate.
These guys are unbelievable. So, yeah, but it's weird because maybe I'm wrong. It feels like NFL players really push to fight through when the games are of maximum importance. NHL players always do, and NBA players don't.
I think it depends. I wouldn't blanket statement that. But
I'm just saying as a general view. I'm not saying each one individually.
I don't think it's the... It's kind of what you brought up in hockey, is that that's what you do.
Is that a good thing, though? I mean, sometimes probably is.
Yeah, like, personally, probably not for you long-term, it's not. Like, you probably shouldn't have to, you know, push yourself through something that could be detrimental to, like, your long-term health or your career, but, like, you just... Even when I had, like, concussions are the worst. Because you have no, like, you know.
Well, that's very dangerous, yes.
Right, but I'm not, like, I'm telling you, like, just like how uncomfortable you feel, and it's not that your teammate's fault, but you know they need you, and you're sitting there, and you have no real outward symptoms.
Right.
How do you feel? It's like, well, I'm a little light sensitive, and like, oh, that's.
Yeah.
And then you kind of, like.
I have my jaw wired shut. You're a little light sensitive.
Right, exactly right. You know. Or this guy's playing with a, you know, grade 2 MCL, and he's limping around, but he's finding a way to play, and meanwhile, you're kind of just, you don't look like there's anything wrong, but. You know, your head's messed up.
1-800-919-3776. So, I believe this is accurate. RJ!
Yes, Dave.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good, good. Okay. You haven't been calling Sherry, have you, now that you have her number locked in your phone?
No, I do see 10 digits all in a line that I know where it leads, but no, I have not.
Send her a picture.
I'll tell you what. I don't think you'll do it. Send her a naked picture yourself.
Yes.
Oh, of course I won't do it.
I'll do it. Give me the phone.
Okay.
He would do it.
No.
I think you might.
No. Cassie would be upset if I sent.
Would she?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys seem to have a nice open relationship.
No.
Though.
If you don't have an open relationship, no? Where you send naked pictures to other women.
How about shirtless?
No.
No?
No. I don't send her shirtless pictures.
Why?
Why would I put anything out there of me naked?
Well, why not? You have a beautiful body.
What happens if it gets hacked?
You look gorgeous.
They're going to put it up in the cloud.
People could just steal it?
I don't know. It could happen. You see all the stuff getting leaked? Cardi B had something there where she was doing some stuff the other day I saw.
Really?
Yeah.
You really purvey everything,
Raymond,
don't you?
See that?
I don't think, I feel
why
like
can he not keep a microphone close
to his face? I
don't
feel like Raymond's very dialed into the show today.
RJ, did you see the Cardi B thing?
I saw of it.
I didn't actually see it. You're so full of it.
You really are. You're unbelievable. I saw it existed, but I didn't actually take in what it was.
That's right.
You're lying.
You're lying.
I didn't know it existed.
She was doing this.
I'm scared of nothing. I told you, Krista Canyons and I spent quite a bit of time together when I was a youth.
Name and names.
Spent time together.
Janine Linden Mulder. Oh. I feel like she was one of my first girlfriends, Janine.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
That much time, huh?
A lot of time.
Probably a little too much.
Too much time?
Yeah, a little bit.
Probably.
All right.
Feels like most of his time.
I mean, Jenna?
Yeah.
I mean, Jenna back in the day was...
That's Mount Rushmore stuff.
I mean, these ladies were just...
Kobe Ty?
Oh, Kobe Ty. Kobe Ty.
Those are my ladies!
Very Bad Things, which is a very bad movie.
I bet you used to watch that workout show.
Oh, with like Denise Austin?
No, not Denise Austin, the other one. Oh, what was her name?
Jane Fonda?
No, not Jane Fonda. The other one was... Raymond, you know what I'm talking about?
He's not going to talk into the mic.
I do not.
I'll find out the name.
All right.
I guarantee you used to watch it.
You do that. Anyhow, RJ. RJ!
To answer your question, I have it.
He has the new Mel Kiper mock draft.
Already?
Yeah, what do you mean already? It dropped at 7 o'clock this morning. He has it ready to go.
It actually dropped before 7 o'clock.
Well, you know what? Don't get saucy. All right, so we'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got the new Mel mock draft. We got the Knicks. We got the Jets. We got the Yankees. We got the Mets. We got it all because we are New York Sports Talk.
Kiana's Flex Appeal.
What's her name?
You used to watch it. Kiana.
Mm.
Kiana's Flex Appeal. Guaranteed you've seen it.
Maybe.
Guaranteed.
I don't lie. I'm not going to lie to you.
Once you see it, you'll know. You've seen it.
Is she like Hawaiian?
Yes.
Yes, I think I've seen Kiana. Yes.
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 Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Mel's newest mock draft. I think the Giants fans will not be overly excited by this. That would be my initial...
Let me take a peek.
...quick glance.
Who?
Is it the Giants fan will not be thrilled? I don't think he'll be upset.
No, so he still has, I mean, has J.J. McCarthy. Well, let's not get into it, but.
Well, we can get into it.
He's got Bo Nix up at 12 now, huh?
So, I mean, listen, I love Mel. I think Mel is great. I don't see any way J.J. McCarthy falls to 11.
It doesn't feel like it unless Minnesota feels like he's going to get past. He's going to get past the
but
Giants.
If you're Minnesota and you get him at 11, aren't you thinking to yourself, well, why did I just trade for this first-round pick?
Well, because they were probably concerned about, oh, for the second first-round pick?
Right. If he's going to drop to 11, that was unnecessary.
Not
that it's a bad trade, though.
But he also doesn't include trades in his mocks.
Right.
Like what could happen at the draft.
Right. And I think there will be a number of trades, but I just do find it a bit curious that he has McCarthy dropping to 11. How much do we value? I mean, the quarterback is overvalued more than any position in any sport.
Right. But, okay, hold on. You're missing my point, though.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Arizona's not taking a quarterback.
Right.
Chargers are not taking a quarterback. What's interesting is he doesn't have you guys taking J.J. McCarthy. So once he gets right. by you, Tennessee has Levis.
Right.
The Falcons just signed Kirk Cousins.
Right. The Bears are going to have their quarterback from the top
of all. And the Jets don't need a quarterback.
Right. But you have to, is there not a team that it would make sense to move up and jump?
But he doesn't do that.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So this is how, like, I'm sure if we get him, when we get him on the phone this week, I'm sure he'll maybe say that there's a real chance that Minnesota does jump up.
Right. That makes sense. But I find it hard to believe that he's going to drop to 11.
Right. When trades are involved. Correct.
But even so, I mean, I don't think the Giants let McCarthy go past them at 6.
I don't disagree with you, although I did see something and saying that this would be, could you imagine how well played this would be by the Giants if they weren't really interested in taking a quarterback to get one of the stud receivers?
But don't you get one of the stud receivers regardless?
Well, depending on who you think the stud receiver is. If you go 1 through 4 all quarterbacks, because Minnesota feels like they have to jump up now, 5, it could be, I saw Sims has
Harrison?
No, he has Neighbors ahead of Harrison.
Ahead of Harrison.
But you could get one of those two now at 6.
Right. So here's how he has it playing out. Like you'd figure, Williams 1 to the Bears, Jaden Daniels 2 to Washington. Again, there's so much information. I was reading somebody, I forget who it was yesterday, said Jaden Daniels is not going to be a good pro. So, I mean, you don't know. Drake May 3 to New England. Marvin Harrison 4 to Arizona. Malik Neighbors 5 to the Chargers, replacing the duo that they've lost, and the Giants would take a Dunze at 6. There's a whole write-up on him, but I think we know he's an elite receiver and he's going to be a star in this league.
I'd take a Dunze at 6, and then you find a way to get Penix, reunite them.
I think I was looking at Connor Rogers yesterday that said, I think it was Neighbors at 6, and then move back into the first round with Baltimore at 30. And take Michael Penix. And then you have your receiver-quarterback combination.
Well, that would be interesting. Listen, I mean, this is lying season two, though. You know, I mean, you know,
of
these
course.
Teams, good, well-run teams, aren't going to start making it known what they're really interested
in. Well, just the opposite of making it known. The good, well-run teams are going to make it impossible for you to know what their intent
right.
is.
You're going to go through the entire process. You're going to go, I mean, the interview, if you're the Giants, you're going to do, you know, all the interviews, all those certain things to make team, if you want the quarterback, great. Or if you don't want the quarterback, just make everyone feel like, you know, listen, we're off of Daniel Jones. We're done with him. And we're going to find his replacement. And then if you don't want that, you got a team like Minnesota jumps up. You go 4 quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3, 4. And now all of a sudden you get, you know,
the
one
second
of those
best receiver on the board.
Receiver.
And Neighbors and Harrison and Adunze are all supposed
who,
to be.
Who could be your best receiver on your board.
Right.
It's, you know what I mean?
Quite possible. Remember when I asked Mel last time we spoke to him, I said, in 5 years, which of these guys do you have the most confidence will be stars? And he said, any of those receivers. So that, I mean, that will be an option if you're the Giants. But I think that if you're a Giants fan, you'd be disappointed if they didn't address the quarterback situation.
Yeah, well, you can say that, but you can't. Okay, you can say that, but you can't say that for this reason, is that you've already told me that you trust whatever Brian Daboll and Joe Shade decide is right.
I do, but I'd like that to be the quarterback situation.
Well, you can't force it. If Drake May's the guy that they like, and all of a sudden, you know,
I read
a report yesterday that Washington and New England have no interest in really trading out.
So
right
how
now.
Do you get out of this bad quarterback situation you're in if you can never get the next quarterback?
You guess you try to find a way. I mean,
but how?
I don't think Drew Locke's going to be that guy.
All right, so
get Michael Penix,
do you believe
maybe?
It's not going to be Daniel Jones?
I believe it's not going to be Daniel
Do you
Jones.
Believe it's not going to be Drew Locke?
No, I don't think it's
so. You don't think the Giants have their future quarterback on the roster mm-hmm. right now? So how do you get if you? Let's just say for argument's sake, you draft a Dunze, you draft an offensive lineman, your third round pick, you take a quarterback. You're not going to look at that quarter like you take Spencer Rattler. You're not going to look at him and say that's the future.
No,
of the
probably
Giants.
Not. But I think if you add enough talent around that kid, you've seen it work. Especially if you got a guy that you feel comfortable grooming the quarterback and putting him in a good spot when he's ready. I think for me, that's always why this has been an attractive year to do this, is because Daniel Jones, you can move off of his deal.
Right.
He can play this season, and it also gives you this offseason and next offseason to put more talent around whatever the quarterback is. But you can't just make the Giants aren't going to just take a quarterback to take a quarterback. That's the last thing
which
you would want.
Which they should not do.
Right. So in this case, so if they don't think J.J. McCarthy is the guy, and it was Drake May, and they can't get Drake May. They can't just take J.J. McCarthy to appease the fan base.
You know what? I think I've asked him this in the past. I don't remember what his answer is. Does Mel draft the way he would draft for these teams? Or does he draft the what he believes the teams would do?
What he believes the teams will do.
So he believes... Raymond, what are you saying? What he's saying? Why is Ray like...
I don't know. He's chewing. I think he has some bagel in his mouth.
Again?
He drafts
no,
according...
No, I'm not.
He drafts according to what he thinks the teams will do.
Okay.
But he does not include draft. Like,
so he does not think the Giants will take J.J. McCarthy.
That's what he's saying.
Right. I guess my question would be
you know
why.
That,
why?
Well, what? You've heard...
No, I've heard... That's his opinion. I've heard him say that he thinks that Daniel Jones is better than J.J. McCarthy.
So you think he's wrong?
Not at all. I don't think he's wrong. I'm just... It's curious to me that the Giants... Because I think the Giants like J.J. McCarthy.
Well... Okay, but I don't think he does this mock where he's making phone calls around the NFL to try to get an idea of exactly what they like.
Fair.
In his mind, they're set at quarterback. They desperately need a wide receiver. Like, he's looking at what they need.
See, in my mind...
In his mind, they don't need a quarterback.
In my mind, they desperately need a quarterback.
They need a weapon for Daniel Jones. And they have the opportunity to do that at 6.
It's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. 7 is the Titans taking Joe Alt. 8, the Falcons taking linebacker Dallas Turner from Alabama. 9, the Bears taking Jared Verse from Florida State. 10, oh, you would lose your mind, Brock Bowers from Georgia, who is considered just a can't-miss tight end prospect.
Yeah, he's a stud. He's an absolute stud. You also have the opportunity at 10 there to take the second-best lineman, too, if you wanted to, offensive lineman.
Who, Fashanu?
Whoever you thought the second best was. I mean, Alti's got Alt going 7, but that's the only offensive lineman off the board at that point.
Right. So he's got Fuaga. Is it Fatanu? Is that how you say the name?
Yeah.
Fatanu from Washington, Fuaga from Oregon State, and Fashanu from Penn State. All just sitting there.
Just sitting there.
Just sitting there waiting.
Just waiting. He's got Fuaga going to Cincinnati at 18.
Who did I say Cincinnati is interested in? An offensive lineman to replace Jonah Williams.
I actually think, too.
Trent Brown.
Trent Brown from the Patriots, yeah.
I actually think that I think he has Marvin Harrison Jr. as the third best receiver in this draft.
Chris Sims?
Yeah, I think he's got Neighbors 1. I think he's got Brian Thomas 2.
He has Thomas ahead of Odunze.
Yeah.
And Harrison?
Yep.
Wow.
I got to check again, but I'm pretty sure that was it.
But that's what you're going to get. You're going to get people that you think are good and you respect that are going to be all over the place because this is a very inexact science. All right, we'll break. We'll come back. Rick's going to get us our breakfasts. And we'll do that. 1-800-919-3776. Then we got some CMT. We got your calls to get to. We got more NFL draft and more Knicks and some Yankees and Mets as well. It's DNR with you on 98.7 ESPN. Discover BetMGM, the sports betting app New Yorkers turn to for nonstop buzzer-beating action all season long. Take the hard-hitting excitement of March matchups to the next level with a lion's share of promotions and betting options, whether you're cheering courtside or from the comfort of your own couch, BetMGM keeps the adrenaline pumping with every single dunk, three-pointer, and buzzer beater. Join the excitement now with BetMGM. Plus, every time you make a wager, you earn BetMGM rewards points, which means what? It means you can turn the convenience of online betting into real world rewards at one of MGM's signature resorts and more. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Download the BetMGM app today and enjoy March matchups like never before. See BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 plus years of age or older to wager and physically present in New York only. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
How would you say sans phone I'm doing on the show today?
Really well. I think we're working through some things.
I don't think you recognize how big of a deal it is for me to not have my phone.
So this is the equivalent of a quarterback and the offensive play caller not having the radio communication.
My headset is not working at all.
You don't have the headset. You don't have the wristband.
No, I have a read to do. I can't do it because it's packed away in my email. Anybody that's texting me right now, it's going into the ether because I can't access that. Any email that I get and I read on the show, no access to that. I mean, I am flying blind here right now.
What do you miss the most?
The comfort of the phone.
But I mean
The comfort.
I mean, just having it makes you comfortable. What happens if Sherry needs me?
Detached from the world.
Which is a nice thing in its own right, but I can't look at any sort of thing. What happens if a friend is texting me something important? Hey, Steve needs a kidney. Do you have a kidney? I don't know.
Well, as far as Sherry goes, if there's an emergency and Sherry needs to contact you,
she now has RJ's number.
Exactly.
Right.
So there's that.
There's that. But what happens if Ben oversleeps and she needs me to do something with that?
What can you do from here?
I'm curious. What would you be doing?
I don't know. Maybe I could text him and say, get your butt out of bed. I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you. I'm letting you guys in behind the curtain. Yeah. I feel completely naked without having my phone on me today.
But here's the thing. I mean, you just turned 51.
Right.
How many of your years would you say you lived without a cell phone?
So it's funny you would say that. We lived in North Carolina, and I just refused. I had a flip phone for the longest time. And then I went to the store, and I was like, let me see this iPhone that you guys have. And they showed me the iPhone. I was like, I'm not ready to do it. I went back to the store. Let me walk me through the iPhone. They showed me. They walked me through. I'm not ready to do it. I must have gone 4 or 5 times. Finally, I was like, all right, you know what? I'm ready to pull the trigger. Let's go with the iPhone. Got the iPhone. I'm guessing I got into the smartphone era. 2009? Something like that?
So you had a pretty good run.
I had a great run. I originally refused to get a phone because you know me, I'm very stubborn. Then I finally got a phone. It was a flip phone. I wouldn't switch to the iPhone. Got the iPhone. But, you know, it's like saying, how would you do without, like, my dad grew up without television. My dad grew up in the radio age where they would put, like, actual programs on radio. But now once you're introduced to that next generation and it's taken away from you, you miss it. So it's not the point that I never had a cell phone. It's the point I now have had one for over a decade and I miss not having it this morning. And I feel like I'm flying blind here on the show.
Well, to an extent you are. And I'm not saying you should try to recapture the magic that was a non-cell phone life. I think the access we have, and that's why I'm a believer of like when your phone is, that's one of the things I think you splurge on.
I mean, I when my phone gets into the red with battery, I start to get a little shaky. It's like, oh God, this thing could you know, die on me here, and now what will I do? To not have it at all is a life-altering situation.
Well, and now that I have a child, what's wild to me, I mean, I guess I just never thought anything of it. You see kids with phones. How young kids get phones now? Like their own phone.
Oh, yeah. I think we got our kids' phones when they were going into middle school. So end of fifth grade is, I think, what we did.
I think that's pretty common. Actually.
Because I think middle school, at least in our town, when school ends, you can walk off campus and you leave and you can walk into town or do whatever you want. So we wanted our kids to be able to have access to us and say, hey, we're going to town. We're doing this. We're doing that. So that's when we did it. The summer after they graduated fifth grade, going into sixth grade, into middle school.
And I think that's pretty common because I think you can play it two ways. You can hold out, and the problem with that is when they get it, they're going to go wild. Like if you don't give your kid a phone till they're, I don't know, eighth grade.
But I think they've had like the iPad that they've kind of slowly morphed into learning that area of thing, right?
Correct. And then when you give them that freedom, it's like when you go to college. Like the kid that was, they had the strong curfews and there were a lot of repercussions.
He goes crazy.
No, that's the kid that gets kicked out after the first semester.
Right, because he's doing drugs and he's eating burgers and he's not sleeping.
He's got a 0.3 GPA.
Right. He's Blutarsky is what he is.
Hey, Greg, you missed chemistry. We have chemistry today? Oh, well.
Yeah, 0.0. Did you put on a lot of weight when you started school?
Absolutely.
You did?
A lot of grilled cheese.
But I don't ever see you as a heavy set guy.
I think I got up to, I mean, I'm short, as you've noticed. I think the highest I got was like 107 that I saw on a scale was like 173 pounds.
And what are you now, like 145?
I actually weighed myself yesterday. I was 149.
So wow, that's a lot of, that's 24 pounds.
I went wild. Well,
would you think you'd be determined as fat?
You're right there.
I'm not saying like, would a doctor say you're fat? They always say you're fat, but I'm saying like, do you think someone, your mom would have looked at you and said, RJ.
Chunky.
You've put on quite a bit of weight.
Oh, yeah.
Ray, did you ever get fat when you started college?
No. After college, I feel like I got fat.
Really?
The freshman 15, I feel like maybe it was there, but I never really noticed it. I didn't like push 200 pounds until I was out of school.
And you're not over 200 now, are you?
I'm right at 200 right now. And again, this is the time of year where
because you don't sleep.
I'm not working out, I'm not sleeping well, and I'm eating terribly.
Can I be honest with you right here as a friend?
Sure.
You wear it beautifully. You look tremendous.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you know that I would tell you if I felt otherwise.
If I looked horrible, you would tell me.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, you know, as we get into spring and I'll eat a little better, I'll work out a little bit more, hopefully we'll drop the extra weight.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because I saw this and I was confused by this. When did you think the first day of spring was?
I thought it was March 20th or something like that.
March. I always thought it was March 21st. RJ, what was your mindset on when the first day of spring actually was?
To me, it's when the weather starts breaking. Well, I get anxious.
But the actual first day of spring.
We were in fall spring a week ago.
Yeah, I actually didn't even know. Late March.
So I thought I've always thought it was March 21st. It turns out this year, it's today. March 19th is the first day of spring.
Okay, no, that's not right. That can't be.
Look it up.
No, I believe you, but...
Today is, in fact, the first day of spring. So happy spring to you guys.
Happy spring. It's freezing outside.
It is freezing outside. Let's go to Omar in Bethlehem. Omar, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Can you hear me well? I got my AirPods in.
You sound great. I don't know that you're supposed to do that with per RJ's instructions, but it sounds very nice.
All right. Well, first, I appreciate that. Sorry, RJ. So, Dave.
Yeah.
I got a pickle with you. I was listening to a podcast yesterday.
Yeah.
And I could not believe... And you went on multiple dates with your wife's exes.
Oh, it wasn't multiple dates. Well, first of all, they weren't dates. It was one time that an ex-boyfriend that she left on good terms with came back to town and called her and said, oh, listen, I'm right around the corner from your building. Would you like to meet for a cup of coffee? I was with her at the time, and she said, you know what? Can you come with me? Because I don't really want to hang out with this guy by myself.
Okay, first, I thought you had said you did it with other exes.
No,
but my
never.
Second question is, like, so I'm married. I'm 32. I've been with my wife for 5 years.
Right.
So my thing is, like, what is she getting out of being with this ex or you tagging along? Like, when I was in Vegas, somebody looked at my wife, and I was getting ready to uppercut somebody.
All right, well, he was a pleasant guy. He was boring as all can be, but he was a pleasant enough guy. And we went out for, like, a cup of coffee. And we sat there, and it ended on good terms. It wasn't like a miserable breakup. And she was just like, oh, how's your family? What's going on? How are you doing? And that was it, like an hour of that conversation.
And now, has this ever happened the other way around? Has, like, an ex hit you up, and you and Shirley go with you?
No. No.
Now, would you do that on the other hand? If an ex, like... You know, reach out to you, would you bring shirt? Like, it's just weird to me to have...
Yeah,
like,
I understand why you would look at it as strange. I don't know. Probably not. But I wouldn't be if, like, if there was someone that ended on really good terms, and she said, and I said to her, and she reached out to me, and she said, you know, you want to go grab a dinner in your area? And I said, sure. I mean, we've been married for 20 years in May. 20 years, a long time. I have nothing to hide, and anything I do, she's welcome to know, and I feel like it's vice versa. And I was just, at that point also, it was like new dating for us. Like, we were only together a couple months, and, you know, she said, would you please come out with me, and I don't want to be alone with this guy and hang out with us. And I said, sure, because I'm a gentleman. Raymond, you said you have an answer on why spring is today. Rick, spring is today.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I thought it was typically March 21st, but in fact, it's today, March 19th. Raymond has the answers to why.
So apparently it does move around. It can be the 19th. It can be the 20th. Can sometimes be the 21st. And it's all based on the equinox. So,
Are you an equinox guy or an equinox guy?
I don't know. I guess it's what you prefer. I guess I've always been an equinox.
Interesting.
I could be totally wrong.
So it maneuvers based on what?
When the actual is it closest or furthest to the sun this time of year? It's got to be closest, right?
I think you're closest to the sun.
Right.
I think the further away you are, the longer days you have. I think.
And at any rate, the first day of spring is today, Tuesday, March 19th, because March 19th, because it's... Listen, I'm on no sleep.
March 19th.
March 19th. Big fan of the March 19th.
Poor Raymond.
I'm just gonna put my head down.
Do you feel awful right now?
Can you get sleep today or no?
He's got the Rangers today.
Well, got the Rangers today, and we have this big meeting after. I don't know. We got to see. I got to tell you what.
Maybe we see if Raymond can skip the meeting today.
This bacon, this bacon, egg, and cheese?
Yeah.
Clutch. Thank you.
Can we take a moment, please? RJ, I would like you involved in this as well. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to repeat after me. We would like to thank...
We would like to thank...
Raymond.
We would like to thank...
The New York Rangers.
The New York Rangers.
For the food we're about to eat.
for the food we're about to eat.
Because in destruction of the Islanders.
Because in destruction of the Islanders.
RJ?
This is getting long.
Please.
In destruction of the Islanders.
Led us to this delicious, delightful breakfast situation.
Led us to this delicious, delightful breakfast situation.
Amen.
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 And you play the music?
Yeah, of course he does.
Go. I brought you extras too, and you're gonna. And this is what you're gonna do.
I got a little side of fruit.
Right.
I felt bad about that.
Why?
Because I mean, you're not eating
any of this beautiful food if not for me and my Rangers.
I agree, but we have the breakfasts, and now to recite, you know, biblical verses.
We're thanking the powers that be. In this situation, the powers that be are in fact the New York Rangers. Ryan Lindgren gave up a leg for this breakfast.
Yeah, right. He's going to miss a couple weeks. Stop it, please.
Still, that man is heroic.
Listen, he gave up his leg for the egg whites and the bacon.
I was
not
saying,
for the extra fruit salad.
If there's any guy who could take like what looks like a devastating injury and just shake it off like nothing happened, it's Ryan Lindgren. Tough guy.
So warrior is what that guy is.
He is a warrior.
Look at these egg whites.
I got Winthrop with bacon, egg, and cheese.
Yeah, boy, it's going to be cold by the time he shows up
on the
up
roll.
Here.
Like really? Yep.
Not a brioche?
No, God forbid. I'm not messing around with the brioche and him.
Winthrop is unbelievable. Am I missing anything in the group text?
He was just texting. He was actually just texting about spring.
He knows the answer to spring?
So he said it might be because of leap year. Spring technically doesn't begin until 11 p.m. tonight. In a usual year, spring would begin on March 20th. March 21st, I believe, is recognized as the first full day of spring.
Oh.
John has a lot of knowledge.
Wait, spring is like the tampering period? Like it has an hour and it begins?
Yes. Right now you can negotiate with spring. By Thursday of this week, you can sign spring.
It's not the whole day. It's not midnight.
Yeah, that's right. You're funny.
I actually got a full rundown from Brian.
Here we go.
It's the spring equinox for the Northern Hemisphere. June 21st, the sun is over the Tropic of Cancer. September 21st, over the equator again. December 21st, Tropic of Capricorn.
I don't know what any of that means.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, right. Can I say something, though?
Yeah, of course.
I can see why you love Brian.
See?
That's a lot of information.
He's a fount of knowledge?
Yeah, that's a lot.
You have friends that have a lot of knowledge.
I'm telling you right now, stuff goes down, you're going to want to be where Brian's at.
I like Brian.
Who wants to be a millionaire? He's your life,
Brian. I'm just letting you know.
I have not one issue with you having a friendship
with
Brian.
We can drink his pool water if we want. He's got a special device right in the pool. Drink his pool water. Cleans it and everything.
Like a dog?
No, no.
We're going to lap up his pool
water?
It
goes right into this little thing, drinking water.
So if Brian is swimming in the summer, does a few laps, man, am I tired. He just gulps down the pool water?
No, we don't drink the pool water. If we have to drink the pool water, we can drink the pool water.
Well, I would think anybody's pool water you could drink, no?
No. Spend some time during the next commercial talking about Rick and the protocols in place in his life with Brian. Should things go sideways.
So if you had to go on a deserted island with one person, Brian's your guy.
Not even a question.
Over me?
Not even a question.
Over me?
Yes.
Oh, you know what? I would add such
levity. Well, you, I would consider you because I could eat you.
That's not nice.
And it would last a long time.
You're not a nice person.
Shank you quick and then just I would feast.
So what would you have? Like, guess what? Great Sunday night dinner? Have like a big thigh bone?
No, yeah. Like it would make a nice little gravy with your meat.
You think if you were dying?
No.
And had no nourishment whatsoever, you would eat me?
Yeah.
You do?
Well, what would my choice be?
You
That's
could try
all
to find
I had?
Non-poisonous berries? Well, maybe some leaf?
I would attempt. Or me. Leaf. I would attempt to find other things. But
RJ, would you eat me?
It wouldn't be my goal.
Right.
But I think you'd be
the first Rothenberg.
You'd be the easiest. How dare you? You would not. You'd be the easiest.
I just let it go because it wasn't even very good.
But
he's the one with the cell phone number, not me.
I think you'd be the one we'd have to worry about turning on us and trying to eat me.
Yeah,
well, I wouldn't turn. I would wait till you passed. I would put a pillow over your head and smother you. And then
RJ,
you
there's
but
no
you
way.
Might expedite his passing.
Right, there's no way. Like you'd wake up and he'd be like trying to like gnaw the meat off your leg. He has no idea how to cook it, clean it.
Imagine that. RJ's like he's fast asleep. He's like, what is that nuisance on my? Dave's eating my leg. No, I think I would put you over a fire, let you cook.
How are you
going to
make the
you?
Fire?
What do you mean, how am I going to make
how
the fire?
How are you going to make the fire? There's no lighter. There's no lighter fluid.
I'll take sticks and rub them together.
Really?
You know how to rub them together.
I would love to see. I'm going to bring sticks in tomorrow.
I don't want to. That would be a fire hazard.
There's no chance. Zero. percent chance.
What do you mean?
That you can make a fire with two sticks.
If I win a challenge, now I get implements to make fire.
There's no challenge.
The fire warden would not be happy about that. You can't do that.
Yeah, I'll beg Jeff Probst. Jeff, I need to be able to make fire.
If I win a challenge.
Yeah, but the fire warden that hangs out around here, he'd take one look at you and be like, ah, don't worry about it.
Of the four of us, you think clearly I'm the least likely to be able to make fire?
You've never cut your own grass.
Yeah, but I've never had to.
You don't fill up the air in your tires.
But I could.
Yeah.
Could you?
I think so. I fill up the gas tank.
Your tires are flat right now. We go outside. You know what to do? Besides call AAA.
What'd you say, Ray? I fill up the gas tank. Like, I don't wait for someone to walk over and do it and give them the credit card. I pop out of the car myself. Like, I got it.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like getting someone else pumping my gas. I like pumping my own gas.
I'm very capable at that. So, I'm able to do some stuff.
I would win a challenge and they would give me...
Then I would get the implements to be able to make my own fire.
Like a survivor?
Yes, yeah, that's what he thinks.
That's what I'm thinking. And a fishing net and everything, so I could...
they give you a lighter.
After this commercial break, Dave gets a lighter.
I mean, Tom Hanks took out his own tooth on that movie.
With a skate blade.
Yeah, Tom Hanks could handle it. You, no chance.
No, but he got very skinny.
Well,
and he also became best friends with a volleyball.
Yeah, right. We need some companionship.
Well, that's why you would want me, because I'd be a fun companion.
No, no, no. You would be, I would have to take care of you. It's hard enough to take care of myself. Now, on top of that, I got to take care of you, feed you.
Right.
You'd get 3 hours in. I'm hungry.
Where's the TVs? I'm missing the game.
Could you imagine that?
Oh, you would go crazy.
Crazy.
How long do you think you'd last?
Dave would be like the cartoon character that looks at his buddy and sees a giant drumstick. He's ready to go.
How long do you think you'd last?
It depends what season we're stranded.
Football season.
If it were football?
Forget it.
As everyone else is trying to work their way off the island, Dave would just be on his hands and knees. Take me, God. It can't be worse than this.
Okay, let's be serious now for a second before we get to CMT. You're stranded on a desert island. You have no companionship, and you can't watch NFL Sundays. Does it get worse than that?
Yeah, probably not. No, I mean, you probably should stop if you're stuck on a deserted island. I mean, that's probably as bad as it could get.
Yeah, but then you can't watch the games?
Well, why don't
if
we
you're on the island,
well,
but
how
you
are getting off the island?
You have a TV set up. At least you can occupy your time, enjoy the games, set your fantasy lineups, that kind of stuff.
It's got Wi-Fi. you get to the one deserted island that has a TV set up with YouTube TV and the Wi-Fi.
That's my intent. Listen, this is my fantasy. Yeah, so on my island, I'm going to have full Wi-Fi, but, well, wouldn't there be a wireless network somewhere?
No.
No?
Not from a deserted island. We could just, I mean, I can barely get cell phone service in frickin' Long Island.
Oh. I don't like this at all then. I'm out.
It wouldn't affect John. He doesn't need to see what's happening inside the 20.
He knows what's happening.
He has no idea.
He knows what's happening. All right. What I'm dealing with right now is close to that deserted island with no phone.
You have three computer screens in front of you.
Doesn't matter.
With the internet.
Can't check email. Can't get in touch with any of my people.
You have no people.
I have a lot of people.
You already got in touch with your person.
Yeah. And you guys didn't like the way that conversation went down.
It wasn't a conversation. It was, where's my phone?
I did not say, Sherry, my tires are low. I did not say, Sherry, and I did not say, where's my phone? I just said, is my phone in the house, is what I said. There's nothing wrong with that.
And then you made her get out of bed, go all the way downstairs to find it. How did you forget it?
Because I grabbed two waters and a protein bar. And I guess I got the waters and the protein bar, and I had the phone downstairs on the counter.
And you left it there.
And I left, and it was just sitting right there. It's not like it happens all the time. It's just a one-time thing.
It's the first time I remember it happening.
Oh, very upsetting.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.